100% black owned and operated.
They said it couldn't be done.
We did it anyway.
The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app. Allow push notifications and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.
You're listening to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory. And Ivory Coast Media Production.
It's the holiday season. It's a season of great celebration, reflection, and thankfulness for family and friends. Presents will be exchanged. Marriage proposals will be made. Expensive vehicles adorned with candy apple red satin bowls will be parked in the driveways of million-dollar communities to the delight and surprise of sleepy and freshly opened eyes. 8-foot Christmas trees, beautifully dressed with sparkling garland, glowing softly with the lights that cover the height and width of the magnificent fir tree, stuffed with seemingly unending, grandly wrapped presents underneath. It is pure joy awaiting the anxious recipients. But there is a dark side of the holidays that people don't want to talk about. At holiday parties. Yes, there is a terrifying, dark and lonely underbelly of this season of jubilation. For many, it is the continuation of the dark night of the soul. This darkness exists for more reasons than time and patience will permit. However, I will shed light on some key areas that may bring greater understanding of the plight of those who actually dread this time of year, and perhaps allow you to be light for someone's dark and lonely night of the soul. Let me begin this by saying that the greatest enemy of joy is ignorance. When you don't know what to do with pain inflicted on you, you often place blame where it doesn't belong. Ignorance left unchecked will spread from generation to generation like a virus. It must be met with the violent forces of knowledge and understanding. Yes, violent. We must be aggressive in the eradication of ignorance. From the ashes of ignorance and misunderstanding can rise joy and fulfillment. Now I continue my discourse concerning the maladies of those whose joy turns to pain and loneliness during this season of celebration. For many, the nightmare begins in childhood. I'll begin with my own. I'm a child of the late 60s and 70s. It was the era of the Vietnam War, civil rights struggles, the Detroit riots. Anger and fear raged like wildfires in the hearts of black men and women that trickled down, no, rather flooded into the hearts and minds of black children. Into my home, the pain came in ways I will not explain. Suffice it to say, we found a way to keep the pain at bay. But where I suffered the most was not in my home. It was in the streets where children in pain found a target for their internal disdain. That target was me. I'd like to tell you that every arrow missed. I'd like to tell you that I ducked every fist. I'd like to tell you that, but that would simply be a whimsical myth. In school, their tongues spewed insults and ridicule at me like it was a contest. Once they beat me so bad with bats and chains, my school principal had to lift me from the grass and drive me home. Where was my dad? I cannot say, but my mother was there. After that day, she made sure I was trained to fight. By the time I got to junior high, I had maybe 2 fights. By high school, the word was out that I was a hard target. No more fights. Yes, no more fights, but the emotional trauma from the years of my private war was etched in my soul like letters carved in stone. For reasons I cannot truly explain, when the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday seasons were in full swing, instead of joy, I felt pain. That's not to say that I didn't put on a smile when family came by, in many cases for my mother's sake. But I still had anger deep inside that seemed to be there without a reason. Let me say, there is nothing like feeling anger when you don't know why. Out of nowhere, it would settle down on me like an invisible blanket of rage. I'm certain my mother could see it, but she couldn't understand it because I didn't tell her all of my stories of my private wars. The constant insults, the ridicule, the isolation, the feeling of loneliness, the feeling that no one understood. You see, I grew up with all sisters. I had no brothers. And ironically, my father, when he decided to do whatever it is he decided to do and left the home, at that particular time in his life, he had other priorities. But he dropped something on me that no 9-year-old boy should ever, ever be told or experience. And that is, you are the man of the house. A 9-year-old boy trying to figure out what manhood is, absent of his father. A mother can teach a boy many things, but a boy needs to see what he needs to be. That's another story I will delve into a bit later. But I will say that that had a tremendous impact, and it was beyond traumatic. So I asked myself, what is a man supposed to do? Well, I think he's supposed to defend his family. My scrawny arms and scrawny legs are supposed to defend against 250 and 300 pound enemies, if you will. That was a lot, I will admit. Trying to find a way to defend my sisters, 2 of which at the time were older than me, which meant that their enemies were bigger and stronger than me. I was reluctant to fight. But there's nothing like a mother's instruction saying to you, the next time your sisters are in a fight and you don't get in it, well, you're going to have to face me when you get home. And I'll never forget my sister, 1 year older than me, which meant that my enemies were older than me, most likely. And they were bigger. And there she was, arguing in the streets. And I realized I'd rather face whatever this boy would do to me rather than to face my mother's wrath. And I went over to where my sister was arguing and fighting. And I said to the young man, very passively, you have to stop hitting my sister. And he turned to me and gave me the ass whooping of my young life at that particular time. That's just the best way I can say it, because that's exactly what it was. How do you defend against that? How do you process that in your mind as a young boy? Well, now as an older man, now at this point in my life, I understand a lot of things. And the reason I'm telling you these things, the reason I'm sharing with you part of my experience and my traumatic experiences as a boy, because now I realize that some of those fights were right around the holiday season. Some of those incursions were during times where there should have been nothing but joy and jubilation and a celebration and preparing to get gifts or help to prepare groceries or food for the holidays. But instead, I was involved in traumatic experiences that you simply don't know how to process at 9, 10, 11 years old. Just don't. And when I think about those experiences, I think about those who have suffered far worse than I ever did. Who knows what the cause of their trauma is, but I do know that trauma can be triggered. The memories remain etched deep in our souls and sometimes buried so deep at only particular times of the year it rises to the surface. And you look at faces that you think should be happy, and they are filled with anxiety and fear. And you want them to have a different expression on their face because you think it's the holidays. You should be happy. You should be celebrating. You know, as I consider this discourse and this information that I'm sharing with you, I realize you may be asking yourself, where was Bob's safe haven? Where was his retreat from the stress? In brief, but certainly not insignificant in any way, my mother's love was a place of retreat in heaven. Haven. First of all, it was my mother's love. She treated me like a king. That was one of my safe places. The second was my church. I had a strong, black, no-nonsense pastor who taught me the Word of God. And then, of course, there's God himself. He didn't let me die in the streets and rescued me from things I could and could not see. And best of all, he talked to me. From the Word of God, I developed my philosophy. It is that philosophy that taught me a path away from rage and led me to the road to joy and fulfillment and a life without the blanket of rage descending upon me in the holiday seasons. Sometimes people can't understand their pain. Everybody's not able to process it. Everybody didn't have my experience. Everybody was not treated like a king. In fact, many were treated more like paupers or slaves, or even less than that. Here are a few lessons worth your consideration. I learned not to should on people from my experiences, and to take a moment to stand in the shoes of the saddened. It's good to trade places mentally, to be in the place of empathy, to be in the place of those you don't know or understand. But to understand their plight, take a moment and mentally walk in their shoes. It is something you can do. It's not impossible. It's not impossible for you to empathize with those who have had traumatic experiences. In fact, one of the ways you can do that is think of the worst pain you've ever experienced and imagine that the person you want to reach or connect with, the bare minimum understand, had that exact same pain. You see, we tend to identify with those whose pain is the same as ours. I never had sciatica, but anyone who has had sciatica or pinched nerve pain, they all know that excruciating pain. I've seen the look of sciatica on people's faces. I understand that the pain is almost unbearable. No matter which way you turn, there is that unrelenting pain. Pick your pain and pretend that the other person has experienced that pain and you will have entered the world of empathy. It is not wise to tell people how they should feel. To keep it simple and rememberable, don't should on anyone. What is better to do for someone who doesn't seem happy when you think they should is to be kind, simply be kind, and perhaps ask, is there something I can do for you? Is there something I can do for you? Can I help you with something? One of the worst things you can say to a person in pain is what's wrong with you. It would be better said, is there something troubling you? Is something bothering you? Because the question, what's wrong with you, adds insult to injury. You want to know what else you can do? Surprise them with a simple gift. Sometimes the best gift you can offer is the gift of presence. Just being there to listen if they decide to share their story would mean more than you can imagine. Try to convince them alone. I'm going to take a break right here and hear some words from our sponsor. And when I come back, I'll have some final thoughts and a special holiday offer for those of you who are out there thinking about the new year coming in and wanting to be a better version of yourself. Well, I want to tell you how you can do that. And I have something to offer you. Those of you that are in that particular space and ready in this particular year of COVID-19 that has caused more trauma than some people have felt in their entire lives. The loss is immeasurable. The pain, unspeakable. Can you imagine it? Some of you don't have to imagine it. People whose loved ones who lay on their deathbed who could not be there for them in their final moments. How terrifying. How isolating. How alone that must make both the victim and the family feel. There are no words to express that. not being able to have the benefit of a final goodbye. If you want to identify with trauma, just think about that. And think about those who try to pretend that there is no pandemic. These are people who have lost no family members. Conspiracy theorists who, for whatever reason, are locked in ignorance and have their eyes glued completely shut. I'll be back with more in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Bethlehem House is a respite for homeless working women. They can stay here for up to a year. When they come, they're kind of disheveled a little bit, but we try and put them back together here. Our goal is for them to save money. It's very important. And clean their credit. Because without good credit, your money is no good. Isn't that amazing? But they stay here for a year and we kind of get them back together and they go on.
So Sam, I heard your grandma say they're donating that car to Charity Motors.
Yeah.
Said they're getting a full fair market tax deduction for it.
I do not know what that means.
It means we get whatever it's worth as a tax deduction, right when we donate it.
Nope, not getting it.
It means we get money for it. So does the charity we pick. And the car goes half off to someone who really needs it.
Dollar bill, Sam. Whoop, whoop. Charity Motors.
Yep.
No working woman should be homeless. Find out how you can help at BethlehemHouse.org, .org. And remember, the year's drawing to a close quickly. Isn't that something? The last few months of the year and we're already here. Well, I'm sure some of you are glad to see 2020 on its way. But there is a benefit to be had by you by donating your car to Charity Motors. And even if you don't have a car, you can make a donation because guess what? The needs never stop. Find out more about Charity Motors at charitymotors.org. Charitymotors.org. Wrap things up, remember the following. For some people, the holiday time is a lonely time. This time of year, people more than ever will be feeling lonely due to the limited access to family gatherings due to the pandemic restrictions. The pandemic is nothing to be taken lightly. It's such a simple thing to wear a mask and stay 6 feet apart in public places. At 280,000 deaths, it's an understatement to say better safe than sorry. Did you know that suicides among children are being reported with alarming regularity due to this pandemic? Let's remember to reach out to our children and show them that there is hope and that there is no reason to give up. Our news media is doing a horrendously foul job of conveying hope in the midst of this global disaster. So it's up to us to protect their hearts and minds from an industry that's hell-bent on serving us all death warmed over. It is up to us to be salt and light. Remember, please keep in mind and in your heart that something as simple as a phone call could brighten someone's day and just might save a life. Let's all make an effort to end someone's lonely, dark night of the soul and help them see a lovely day. And let's all pray for no more loneliness for everyone. Are you looking to make significant personal changes in the new year to be more successful in every aspect of your life than you've ever been before? If so, consider being one of my personal success coaching clients through my personal development coaching company, Grace Note Coaching Systems. Find us on Facebook or call 248-494-2536. We have a super special holiday package for those on tight budgets. Give us a call because we'd love to talk to you about it person to person. Well, that's all for today, my friends. Be well till we meet again. Now, you know, I want you to go out there and have a fantastic day on purpose. And you know, I mean that. Ciao for now.
Couldn't be done.
We did it anyway.
The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app, allow push notifications, and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.